welcome to the Movie Geeks United Independent Film Spotlight on Brotherhood. Brotherhood tells the story of a college fraternity initiation gone awry in the form of a convenience store robbery. Director and co-writer Will Cannon creates a tension-filled pressure cooker with breakneck pacing and visceral visual flair. Brotherhood opens in Dallas on Friday, February 18th. The same day it's also made available on video on demand. It releases in L.A. on February 25th. In this conversation, Mr. Cannon discusses the genesis of the film and the process of making his vision a reality.
Go! The other pledges are doing this too, right?
Yeah, just like you, they want to be Sigma Zeta Chi.
Let's go, yeah. Let's go.
All right.
Are you ladies freshmen?
Yes.
See the toilet seat?
We got everyone in the house.
Awesome. Nice job, guys. Wash your hands.
Hey, you're an SEC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother, he's one of your pledges. Do you know where he is?
If we do this, are we in?
Just do it, man.
Go in and get $19.10 from the register, because our fraternity was founded in 1910. Brother or bitch, what's it gonna be? Because I know a few sororities that are looking for members too.
Are you insane?
We're not insane. We're Sigma Zeta Chi.
All right, I didn't think your boy had it in him.
And I told you, he wants in.
Good for him, man. Good for him.
Ah! Whoa! Stop shooting, man! Stop shooting! It's just a prank!
You're telling me you can't do anything?
I'm a med student. What do you want me to do?
Stop! Oh my god.
Who the fuck is that?
Get the fuck out right now.
You want me to call an ambulance?
Don't say shit, Frank. I won't fucking say something.
We're not taking you to the hospital because we're not letting you go to jail, okay?
I don't understand why we can't go get him help.
Being called a doctor, a real doctor. He's gonna be here soon.
First of all, tell me about you and how you got interested in films to begin with.
Sure. Well, I grew up in Arlington, Texas, outside of Dallas. And it was, you know, I think like a lot of kids, I just grew up, you know, enjoying movies and, you know, went to a lot of them. And then I think that just kind of turned into, at some point, you know, my friends and I would just kind of hang out and make just like silly little like Saturday Night Live kind of videos, home videos, and just kind of just battery creations of, you know, Wayne's World and, you know, these different things that we had seen. And then at some point that just kind of spilled over into, hey, you know, I actually really enjoy this. You know, I wonder if, you know, could I go to school for this? Could this turn into a career? And, you know, it just kind of went from there.
Was it around the time of the because I'm not aware of your age, but was it around the time of the 90s independent film movement?
It was. I mean, I graduated from high school in 97. And so okay. I started film school. I ended up at NYU and I started there my junior year in 99. So, you know, it was very much like, you know, mid to late 90s kind of independent films were films that were kind of happening as I was, you know, really kind of becoming more and more interested in films and filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, like the Big Lebowski was like a really big movie for me my freshman year of college that I saw, and just, you know, kind of I had never seen a movie that I felt like was such a specific voice. And I think that was one for me that was very aware of, there's somebody really behind this movie doing something really cool.
Yeah, and as you've, because you've made many short films and Brotherhood is your first feature film, so when you're talking about a distinctive creative voice, are you at a point now where you can determine what your voice is or what you want it to be?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that as soon as you kind of start making films, you're thinking about and you're trying to figure out, and, you know, I think there's certain themes and subject matter and style and tone and, you know, all those things kind of work together that I think as soon as you're starting to make movies, you're trying to hone in on those things, you know. So I think for me, you know, Brotherhood, I think is a very, you know, I want to do different things and I want to you know, I don't want to make the same movie over and over, but I think what you see in Brotherhood is sort of a, you know, I think you see a lot of themes and I don't want to say issues, but just things that are very kind of, that I'm very interested in, you know?
Yeah. And what are some of those themes?
Well, I think, you know, issues of justice, how people are treated. There's a little bit of race in there. There's a little bit of class in there. I think those are just issues that for me growing up were very just found interesting, and I think growing up in the South, those are I think things that I thought I wanted to put into a movie that was a little bit more fun and had a little bit of edge to it, and some fun twists and turns, but also to have some substance to it as well.
Did any of Brotherhood actually reflect the college environment for you that you personally experienced?
No, not in any kind of literal way. I mean, you know, I went to the University of Dallas for a year, which my freshman year, which doesn't have a Greek system, and then I went to Baylor for a year, which does, and then I ended up at NYU. So I wasn't in a fraternity. Baylor was really the only school that I was at that had a very big Greek system. The things that happened in the film, were things that my co-writer and I, you know, researched and spent a lot of time looking into, but I certainly, you know, I've never been through a night nearly as intense as the night that these guys go through.
Yeah, I would hope not. When you did do research and you questioned people about their own kind of fraternity experiences, what drew them to kind of, because I've heard lots of stories too, what draws someone to undertake that level of humiliation and abuse at times to enter a fraternity? What is that?
You know, I think a lot of it is, I think people, you know, it's a rite of passage. You know, I think it's you're testing yourself. You know, it's almost like going through some kind of military training, military boot camp. You know, it's, am I strong enough, tough enough to withstand, you know, the psychological test, the physical test, these kinds of things. I think for people, you know, it's I think a lot of times if you're a freshman at school and, you know, you're trying to get plugged in. And, you know, I think it's nice sometimes to have a group that you can kind of identify with and belong with, especially in a place that's where things are sort of foreign to you. So, you know, for me it was interesting because I talked to a bunch of different people, and, you know, there was all different levels of response when people were telling me about their fraternity, sort of like the things that they had been through. Some people loved it. And it was a vital part of their growing up and going away, and some people hated it, and some people were in the middle, you know. But it was I thought it was interesting that there definitely was not a consensus in terms of, hey, looking back, I'm really glad I did it or I hated it. You know, people were really all over the map.
Yeah, and this comes from a short film that you did called Rosalind, right?
It does. It does.
Did you have a feature film treatment in mind? I mean, was this material when you did the short film that you knew that you wanted to expand into feature film length?
I didn't know it at the time. I definitely didn't. When I made the short, the short is essentially about the first 8 minutes of the feature. And when I did the short, it was just about, you know, creating a short film, and I wanted it to be fairly contained. And it was for a junior level production class at NYU, so there were certain limitations to what we really could do. We had, you know, we had a very small crew. The equipment was pretty minimal, so we had confinements that were placed on the project just because of the class, and because we were such young filmmakers, the group of us who were making it. So, you know, we couldn't do a lot because we didn't have the skills to execute you know, something bigger. But yeah, when I did the short, it was just about the short, and then you know, my writing partner and I just kept going back to it and talking about, you know, the characters and the short and ways to expand it, and came with some ideas initially that just really excited us and said, hey, this is something that, you know, that we think we can expand and make a cool full length feature out of.
Mm-hmm. And what was the process like when you try to get it off the ground? Because I know a lot of our listeners are trying to make films themselves. I mean, they're very passionate about filmmaking. Tell me about that process. You're saying, yes, I'm going to do a feature film. What do you do from there?
I think that's the most important thing. You know, I mean, I think what you have to say is, yes, I'm going to make a feature film. And then you just kind of have to go do it, and you can't stop until you do it. And you know, I know for me on Brotherhood, it was very much like, I want to do something that is small enough or contained enough that if Warner Brothers doesn't want to pick it up and make this movie, I can still go find a way to get it done myself. You know, we can find money independently. We can still go make the movie. So, to me, it's just all about, you know, if you say you're going to do it and you're going to commit to doing it, you'll find a way to do it. And if all you can find is $10 to go make it, you'll go make it for $10, but you're committed to making it. And I think if you have sort of that commitment and that drive, you're going to find a way. You'll find a way to get your film made.
What was the environment like? Because coming from short films and now you're helming your own feature film, obviously, I mean, the obvious difference is you probably have a larger crew that you're working with. But what was the biggest adjustment for you, the biggest learning curve?
I think a lot of it comes out of, you know, what you said about having a bigger crew. You know, there's just, you know, for me and my short films, they were definitely much smaller, and just the scope. It's obviously, you're making a short, so I was shooting mostly maybe 2, 3, 4 days on one of the short films, and then with the feature, we're shooting for 19 days, and then, you know, a much bigger crew and just more things. You're just planning so much more. There's just so much sort of on just almost the administrative side of it. There's just so many more moving parts that you're kind of managing and overseeing and making sure that everybody's on the same page about things. So I think for me, that was sort of the biggest difference and the biggest challenge is just, you know, it's this, you've made films before, but the scope of it is just so much bigger when you're doing your first feature.
Yeah. Well, when you've kind of envisioned it in your head and then you get on set and it's being brought to life by your actors, and you have tremendous actors in this film. I mean, they're great, great performances in this movie. Does anything about it surprise you? Because you're living with it for so long in your head. What about actually seeing it come to life surprised you?
Sure. No, I think the great thing about these actors is that they brought so many of their own ideas to it. And they were so passionate about it, and they were so passionate about their roles, and they had ideas for them. So, you know, they would some of the things that they wanted to do, we would talk about, and, you know, they have great ideas, and I said, yeah, let's do that. Or some of the things they would just do, you know, we would be doing a thing, and they would just do them, and those things are so great, because I think if you've written a script, you know, and then you're directing it, you've lived with it for so long, you have a very distinct version of the movie in your head and down to each line, and you have an idea of how each line is going to be said. And I think that was so much fun, was to see these guys take it and make it their own and run with it. And they would do things that were very surprising, but in a completely fantastic way that just breathed life into the movie.
Yeah. How long did you have to shoot this?
We shot it for 19 nights in August in Texas, and it was in an abandoned fraternity house with no electricity or air conditioning. So the
wow.
It was very hot.
hot in Texas anyway.
Hot.
I mean, not right
it,
now.
It is. In August, it is always hot in Texas.
Right. So tell me, obviously, every filmmaker would like more time and like more money, but when it comes to independent filmmaking, when you're working on such a short schedule, what does that do for the film? I mean, because the film as it is now, it has a great kind of frenetic pace to it. I mean, the movie really moves. Do you credit kind of the shorter filming schedule for that?
Well, I think one of the things that we talked about and we really wanted to do was we knew that, you know, like you said, it's going to be a short filming schedule. We're going to have limitations. So one of the things that we really tried to embrace was to embrace those limitations and find a way to use them creatively and find a way to use them in a positive way for the film. And so, we really talked about, hey, we want this film to be gritty. We want this film to feel like it has rough edges. We don't want it to be perfect. We don't want it to be pretty. And we wanted it to have that frenetic pace that you mentioned. So, we tried to just incorporate those limitations into the style. So we don't have a lot of time to shoot these scenes. So let's move quickly. Let's keep the pace up of everything. We want the pace in the movie to be really quick. So, you know, it was just sort of like trying to find ways to use those limitations as positives to come across, you know, and help in the aesthetic of the film.
Yeah. And the film has a great look to it too.
Well, thank you.
Did I read that you did some kind of bleach bypass on it? Is that what you did?
Yeah, we did. We Michael Fimignari was our cinematographer, and I thank you for saying the film looks so good. He did a great job, and I'm so proud of the job he did. And we were looking at it, and I just, you know, as Michael was really great in a lot of ways, but one of the things that he's particularly good at is just he asks all the right questions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then once he gets you talking, he really figures out what you're talking about, what you mean, and then is able to go and execute what, you know, in our collaboration, what we come up with, he's able to go execute it so well. And the bleach bypass was an idea that he had, and we were talking through it, and he said, it sounds like, you know, you're talking about gritty, you're talking about, you know, having an edge to it, you're talking about, you know, a lot of texture and depth. We should look at some films to have used that, and so we started looking at it, and we did a bleach bypass directly to the negative, which is just about as aggressive as a process you can do. Most films, if you're going to do it, you do it at the print stage where you sort of do it in moderation. But we did it actually to the negative as it's being developed. So if you don't like it, there's nothing you can do. I mean, it's done, you know.
That's pretty risky, yeah.
It was. But, you know, and I think that, you know, we talked about, you know, the limitations. That was kind of one of the things that again, goes back to kind of the aesthetic, is that it was like, you know, we wanted to really, the choices that we were making, we wanted to really commit to them. We wanted to really hone in on what we wanted to do, make bold choices and really commit to them. And I think part of that just goes back to having the limitations that we knew we couldn't figure things out later. We had to figure them out right now. We had to make bold decisions right now. So, you know, I think we challenged ourselves to do that, you know.
When you show it to an audience, how does the movie come alive for you in a new way?
That's a great question. It's interesting. Every audience is different, you know. And it's interesting to watch it with different audiences because, you know, there's some places in the movie where there's a commonality to them, you know, and they are that they're gonna react a certain way at certain things. They may laugh at a certain line. But then there's other things in the movie that just depending on the audience and how they're feeling and the vibe in the room, you know, they'll react to some things and not react to other things. So it's almost like, for me, it's really a different experience every time watching it with a new group of people, which is kind of fun because it makes it not get old when you're watching the film, you know, working on it for so long. And then seeing it so many times, it keeps it fun to watch it with different people.
Yeah. And that is always, when I talk to independent filmmakers, that's always something special for them when they unveil it to an audience, because they're living with it for so long, and it's almost like watching it for the first time finally when you watch it through an audience's eyes. It's a new experience for you.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, we premiered it at South by Southwest, so that was sort of the first place that we really showed it to, you know, people who weren't sort of friends and family. And you're exactly right. It's such a fun thing that people who you don't know have heard about your film and are coming to watch it and are interested in it. It's a very surreal thing, I think, especially for a first-time filmmaker doing it for the first time. You know, maybe it's different later on, but for the first time, it was very odd, but extremely cool.
Yeah. And you're going back to Dallas, aren't you? I mean, you're screening there again.
We are. Well, it's opening in Dallas on February 18th. We're actually doing a midnight showing the Thursday night before, so the Thursday the 17th, we're at midnight, and then it opens in Dallas on the officially, I guess, on the 18th, and then it opens in L.A. the next Friday on the 25th.
And it's, and you also, guys are going to be at the theater opening night.
We are. We are. I'm going to be there. All the cast, all the guys, John Foster, Trevor Morgan, Lou Pucci, and Arlen Escarpeta will all be in Dallas for the screenings in Dallas, and then also the showings in Dallas, and also in L.A., just for the first weekend in both of those cities.
Mm-hmm.